Here's a thought I'll title, Returning with a Zoom Lens. In the 1980s, I was visiting my grandmother, who lived in the little tiny town of Tensleep, Wyoming. And outside of Tensleep, there are some really interesting geological structures, basically hills of bentonite, a sort of clay-like substance that gets very gumbo-y when it gets wet. And as a result of that, it makes some very interesting shapes. And there was this one little hill, not very big, that I wanted to photograph and did so with my then 2 1/4, 3 1/4 monorail view camera. I've never been happy with that image. I've tried, I can't tell you how many times, to print that because I love the shape, but it just wasn't right. And it had nothing to do with the exposure or the film. All I knew was it just wasn't right. So last week, when I was in Wyoming, I went to that place knowing that hill would probably still be there, and it is, and I re-photographed it, and it was easy. And then I realized why. In the 1980s, with that view camera, I only had three lenses. I had a 65mm Superangulon wide-angle lens. I had a 100mm Carl Zeiss Tessar, sort of a normal lens for that size film. And then I had a 240mm Telearton. The Telearton was too long. The super wide was too wide. I used the normal lens, and that forced me into a certain kind of composition of that little hill that I just didn't like. Unfortunately, between the highway and that hill was not only a big fence, but a huge gully, and there was just no way I could change my position. And of course, as we all know, Ansel Adams said, the first thing in photography is knowing where to stand. Well, I stood as close as I could, but it was too close for the 100mm lens and too far away for the 65mm Superangulon, so I ended up with a picture I wasn't happy with. Well, last week, I went to the same place, found the same fence, found the same hill, but I had a zoom lens with me and was able to compose exactly what I wanted, because obviously with a zoom lens, you can get to the exact millimeter focal length you need for the composition. And that got me wondering about how many images I made over the years with that view camera and those three lenses that are not exactly the right composition because I was limited by my lens choices. Back in the day, of course, when I was starting photography, zoom lenses were poo-pooed. They were inferior. They weren't as sharp. They weren't as fast. They were amateur lenses. And particularly for view camera work, there was no such thing, at least that I was ever aware of, as a zoom lens for a view camera. So we just had to accept that as an undeniable reality of photographing with a view camera. You were limited to the lenses that you could carry with you, that you could afford to purchase, that were available for your camera. We did the best we could. And I made a lot of good pictures with that camera and with those lenses. But I wouldn't trade back for them now for all the tea in China, because the flexibility of a zoom lens has become such an integral part of my compositional life that I now can't imagine trying to photograph without a zoom lens that allows me to get exactly the right focal length almost no matter where I'm forced to stand. I still agree with that old Ansel Adams advice that knowing where to stand is a critical part of photography. And that's a great theory. But in practice, sometimes we're limited to where we can stand based on the physicalities of things like fences and cliffs and mountaintops. And isn't it lovely that with today's technology, we can have these amazingly sharp zoom lenses that do a fantastic job and have more or less completely eliminated the compromises we had to make with fixed focal length lenses. I'm not against prime lenses. If you have them and use them, well, good for you. All I'm saying is, for me, I enjoy the flexibility of the zoom lens and have no desire whatsoever to go back to limited focal lengths.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.